The message this morning is through Christ alone. Maybe that's why the theme is all about Jesus. It's sticking on me today. Our text today is Philippians 4, first 13 verses. Most of the message will come out of actually verse 13. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche, be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement, also in the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The empowering grace of Jesus Christ is what is being talked about in these verses. But going on with verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The Lord urgently wants to manifest his love and empowerment in our lives today. And I share that out of that particular verse. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly now. At least your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is saying there, whether it's good or whether it's sad, I can do it because Christ strengthens me. If it's happy time or worry time, I can do it because it's Christ who strengthens me. And God is saying to you and me today, whatever it is that we face in life, in this upside down world, we can do it because he strengthens us. Amen. And he is always with us. As I look back at the first verse that says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Now, you have heard that whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, it's wise to stop and ask, what is there for? In this case, the word therefore is reflexive and is reflecting in that the action in chapter 4 to motivate the Philippian saints to stand fast in the Lord is coming from the action of what Paul said in the third chapter of Philippians. So how to stand fast in the things of God is essentially what he kind of hit in chapter 3 when he said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." And we are not to count ourselves that we have apprehended, that we understand all things. We may have a lot of knowledge. We may know a lot of religion. But do we know him? Amen? It's all about him. It's through Christ and Christ alone that you and I stand fast, that you and I are able to persevere, that we are able to face whatever it is, what waters come down our way. So as Paul is talking to us, giving these lessons how to stand fast, we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, as Scripture has taught us. He goes saying, "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Saints, it seems that we need to realize that there's not enough time to navel gaze and be worried and wondering about past things and what happened to us here and there, but understand that God is here with us now, and he is our healing God. Amen. And Jesus wants you well. Amen. And he wants us all well. He's with us. He never changes. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And you can depend upon him. And you can trust him. Amen. So we're going to forget the past things. We left those when he saved us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are to reach forward now to those things which are ahead. And Paul went on to say in verse 14 of chapter 3, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." We need to have the mind of pressing forward. Amen. Because as we learn how to press forward, that means we're going to stand. We're not going to retreat. We're not going to give up. We're not going to run and duck and hide. Amen. We're soldiers of the Lord. "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." What he's really saying here is simply, where we have gone ahead, keep on going ahead. Sometimes they can try to twist up understanding the scriptures. We have to pull it out of there. Verse 17 says, "Brethren, join me and follow my example." And here he's talking about Scopio. That means you're to watch. You are to watch what Paul do. Watch what he said. What did Jesus do? How did he walk? How do the godly saints walk among you? Observe them. Watch them. Compare. And we can keep on going ahead. Keep on moving forward in God. And not retreating back because we had a bad hair day. Amen? Because something turned upside down. Paul said, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Jesus." And you know, as we watch how those who come among us walk, we can also, because we spend time in the scripture, and spend time in prayer, spend time in worship, we can learn the ways of Christ, amen, as he reveals himself to us. Amen. It's all through him. And then we can be aware, because Paul was dealing with the Gnostics back in those days. They were the people who said that the flesh was evil. The only thing that was good was the spirit. And so what they meant there is, therefore, Jesus did not rise from the dead because his body was evil, and therefore it would not have been right, you know, and a whole lot of stuff like that. In other words, we just want to watch for that strange sound when we talk to people, whether or not they are of God, whether or not they speak the things of God. For we're in the day where Jesus said many false prophets are going to come. Many false Christs are going to come. And we know that they're up and about. And the sweet spot is here in verse 20 and 21. Where he said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body." Amen. according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my brethren, the key here to me is stand fast in the Lord in the evil day in which we are in. We are to keep our eyes on him, and we are to minister to others. We are to give. We are to worship. Jesus is the only one who can do all things, amen, that we need done. He is the one who will transform your lowly body in a twinkling of an eye, hallelujah, that your bodies may be conformed to his own glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things. Praise God. So we just passing through this world once. Amen. And after that, we got a whole eternity before us. Amen. Yep. And so it is through Christ working in us by way of his Holy Spirit that we are able to receive his fullness in our lives. God wants to fill us with his presence, his spirit. So here Paul is affirming that as God's people, we don't have to be weak. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be hopeless or doubty. And we don't have to worry as we watch our culture crumble from when Jesus returns, he'll put things, but I said when he returns, he'll put things in order. But we're watching our world around about us crumble. And I thank God for that prayer. Oftentimes I pray, God, raise up a national leader, somebody who can speak to Congress, somebody who can speak to the president, somebody who can call our nation to prayer. We need somebody like that, Lord. And we thank God for these people who are rattling and calling people together for prayer. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. And we need to remember, we have a heaven to go to when it's all over. Amen. When it's all said and done, we have a heaven to go to. So stand fast in this end time generation. You know, it's time to leave some things, saints. It's time to stop being such a stubborn, hard-hearted that we can't move in God. Amen? Whatever it is that God is dealing with in our lives, we need to stop running into each other. I mean, you might not be in church. This is a very peaceful place. But I'm talking about on your way to church. Amen. We need to keep our eyes on him in a time of a crumbling world. You know, we look down in Luke 21:25-26 says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity. This is Jesus speaking. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And you know, in these end times, there in Matthew 24 and Revelation, we see some things that will come upon this earth, you know, as a result of the times of the end coming upon us. And we don't know what kinds of preliminaries we might see as God is still judging our nation. You know, we've had a lot of shots across the bow, but we need to realize we need to be praying like never before again. We know we're in the throes of World War III, you know, and all of that kind of thing, you know. But it's essentially going to, you know, take place over there in the Middle East. But there are some people out there who hate us. And they're getting nuclear weapons and everything like that. And you never know when God has really got a case with a nation, he wants to chastise them, he will. And God has given us so many opportunities. We're not taking advantage of them. Our nation as a whole, the culture, it keeps going south. And we're not hearing God and we're not responding to him. Amen? And we need to be praying, God, what are we to do? Like the sons of Issachar, they said they knew the Lord and they understood the times and they knew what it was they were supposed to do. You know, we want to know what it is we're supposed to do. What kind of church are we supposed to be in a time, an apocalyptic age, you know? What kind of church are we supposed to be? And how are we to be it? How are we to be it? I think that's very important for us. These must surely be the times that Jesus said, that will come upon the world in the latter days. Because so many will affirm we are in the last of the last days. And I do certainly believe that. Amen. And I have personal evidence that that's true. As was the case with Paul, the people God will bring into his kingdom through our sharing with them of ministry or ministering to them, that they will be our joy and crown as Paul's was to him. I think there's going to be a joyful time to share the gospel and get people coming in the kingdom. I think that's probably the major thing we ought to be about, you know. Now, talking to people. I think God is, by His Spirit, making people ready, you know. So in the light of the fact that the Lord's return is at hand, Paul is telling the church at Philippi to stand fast. We need to stay fast, stay faithful to, and hold the course, stay faithful to the task. You know, when Jesus said, blessed be he who will be found doing what I told him to do when I return. So we want to stand confidently, and we want to stand firmly in the Lord. And understand this, God does not intend for you to go through the tribulation. I don't hear a sigh of relief. Well, maybe I'll say, bring it on, Jesus. No, you're okay. With all the trouble that's abiding, we are going to stand fast. Amen. We're going to be confident. So when I say you don't have to be afraid, because he doesn't intend to catch you. But if you are standing fast, you're staying focused on him. Amen. And you're growing in him, and you're going to be ready. Amen. So when we look at the scripture, Ephesians 5:6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. He doesn't intend for you to suffer the wrath of God or the wrath of man or the wrath of the devil. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. I like that scripture. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not appointed us. Oh, I like that one even better. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we watch or sleep, we shall live together with him. Amen. Yes. You can relax and sleep well. Mm-hmm. I could use a little bit of that right now. But Paul says God has not appointed us to rest. Why? It's because we are... Is it because we are so good or so cool or so nice? No. The wrath that should have come down on us came down on Jesus. Amen. Amen. So it was through him and him alone that we found rest and deliverance. Therefore, we are not ordained for the wrath of the Lamb, but for the amazing work of God's salvation in us and through us. Amen? Yes. Let's be ever been as diligent when it comes to running the race and carrying the bloodstained banner and declaring to people that this is the hour that they need to know Jesus. Keep praying for your children. So many of them have gone away from the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. You need to pray a lot in the Spirit. Go in their bedrooms if they're still living with you. Slip a hanky under their pillows, if you know, anoint it with some oil and pray on it. I've seen God heal people of cancer that way. I know 2 cases where miraculous healings occurred because we anointed hankies and sent them to people and we prayed over them. Now, I don't plan to find a pile of hankies at my doorstop now, because it's not just me, it's all of us praying for them. So as we go about the Lord's business, we understand he will strengthen us as we are found doing what he called us to do. Amen. It won't be out of your strength or my strength, but it's going to be out of his strength. Amen. And so more and more I'm convinced that heaven is what really matters right now. Heaven should be on our mind. Amen. And the Lord wants us thinking about Him. He wants us seeking Him. And you know, some people say they're so heavenly minded they have no earthly good. Well, I think that's a misnomer. You know, I think the more heavenly minded you are, the more benefit you are to anything on the earth. So the whole issue is we can worry too much about what's going down in the world and in our lives and how we're going to make it. And God doesn't want us worrying. He doesn't want us fretting. Amen. So it's been said that we overly analyze and overly scrutinize and ponder our lives endlessly. But in reality, our joy and crown must lie in sharing the gospel with those who don't know Jesus. That must be our joy and our crown. And in praying for people who will soon be eternally cut off from Him unless they open their hearts to Him. And you know, when God really shows you that thing, it'll break up your heart. It'll break you up. I have to, you know, I tell myself, there's sometimes that Carol just prays for me because I get so wiped out. I think sometimes the Lord, when you're an intercessor, you might become one that the Lord have you minister to Him through. And sometimes He'll share His burden for the world. Amen. But He won't put any more upon you than you are able to bear. But what a privilege it is to cry out to the Lord, to share His burden, and praying for souls that are lost, that need the Lord. Because He cares. The people that you have written off, you think they're so bad, so terrible, can never repent. He cares. He cares about them. So one of the reasons Paul could talk so much about joy, even when incarcerated and chained, was because he was thinking about all the souls that will be in heaven because of his ministry to them. So as we consider our eternity, consider the dynamics in Philippians 4, 2, 3. There Paul says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche. Now, it's interesting, what the pronunciation of that name is nothing like the way it's spelled. When you look at the Greek in it, I said, whoa. But anyway, we'll just get a best English transliteration, Syntyche. And he said, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel with Clement, also in the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. In other words, he's saying, you know, disagreements, unresolved conflict, and unforgiveness in believers' lives is a serious matter with God. And as he took time to address it, you know, make sure we take time to address it in our lives. And keep short accounts with God and keep short accounts with one another. So I believe it is critical in the lives of believers that we keep short accounts. So Paul kind of lets us look again at this. And so I want you to notice that he doesn't say, let's find out who's right and who's wrong. He simply says, the Lord is coming. If the Lord's coming is near. So there is no time for squabbling. That's what he's saying here. One writer says, biblical counseling is amazingly simple. To those enmeshed in interpersonal conflicts, we can be like Paul and say, even if you're technically right in any given argument, you're spiritually wrong. So because the Lord wants His children to seek Him and to be forgiven, gracious and merciful, like my wife would say, admit it and quit it. That was the beginning and the end of her counseling, you know. She's one of those kind of person who gets right at it, you know. No hand holding. She's really very compassionate, you know that. And she'll go 100 miles out of her way just for you. I'll be saying, whoa, there, girl, world, time to slow down here. Amen. But, you know, sometimes, you know, admit it and quit it. Works for some people. An atheist was walking through the woods one day in Alaska, admiring all that evolution had created. So he says, what majestic trees, what a powerful river, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. Turning to look, he saw a 13-foot Kodiak brown bear beginning to charge toward him. He ran as fast as he could down the path. He was looked over his shoulder and see where the bear was. He was rapidly gaining on him. Somehow he ran even faster. Somehow, so scared that tears came to his eyes. He looked again and the bear was even closer. His heart's pounding in his chest. He tried to run faster yet. I'm trying to give you some passion here. But alas, he tripped and fell on the ground. As he rolled over to pick himself up, the bear was already over him, reaching for him with his left paw and raising his right paw to strike. Oh, my God, he screamed. That's the man. Time out. The bear froze. The forest was silent. Even the river stopped moving. Then a bright light shone upon the man, and a thunderous voice sounded from heaven. You deny my existence for all these years? Teach others that I don't exist and even credit my creation to some cosmic accident? Do you really expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer? As difficult as it was, the atheist looked directly into the light and said, it would be hypocritical to ask to be a Christian after all these years. But perhaps you could make the bear a Christian. Very well, said God. The light went out, the river ran, the sound of the forest resumed, and the bear dropped to his knees, brought up both paws together. He bowed his head and said, Lord, thank you for this meal that I'm about to receive. The moral of the story. It's as important to believe now. Trust in the Lord now. Be blessed now. Why? Because spiritually and naturally there's a Kodiak of a bear bearing down on this nation and world. It's called the end of the age. The coming of Messiah. Yes, Jesus is coming. But because you know Jesus, you can in all these things rejoice in him. The book of Philippians preaches a positive, victorious message that because of Christ's work for us, because of Christ's work in us, and because of his plan for us, we can and should rejoice. Historians tell us that although Paul has suffered much for the cause of Christ and was writing this letter as a prisoner of Rome, he still was filled with joy because of what God had done for him. Because of the hope he had in God's plan, and because of the faithfulness of the Philippian believers. Paul knew that his beloved brothers and sisters in Christ would be tempted and tested and urged them to stand fast in the Lord, to stay strong in their faith, to be content, and to rejoice in the Lord always. He strongly conveyed the sentiment that in spite of the circumstance, believers can have a great sense of contentment, self-control, and peace. Their joy would come from knowing Christ personally, depending on his strength, and trusting his plan in their lives. So saints, in the world in which we live today, people live relatively discontented. Addicted to every new thing that hits the market. And you know, in a conversation I was having earlier in the week, last week, I mentioned that one thing that they say about this generation, about any generation, when times get tough, people eat more chips and drink more sodas. People have a way of seeking out comfort. And so many people are so comfortable in entertainment and everything, that they're missing the drama of what's going on in the world, and that is beaming down on us. They don't know what's coming, because we have vegged out spiritually and mentally, and some started going to church by TV. Now they don't even do that. But in the world in which we live today, people, we need to be realizing that it's a time to curtail a lot of things. So yet and still there's that underlying controlling feeling that the new this or the new that will keep us and make us happy. But Paul is saying we don't need to be so contented that way. We need to be contented in Christ and trusting Him. So God is speaking through the Apostle Paul, telling us that true lasting contentment can only come through knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Christ and Christ alone. That with our sins forever, our future secure, and our lives in God's hand, we can be content and have joy even in these times of difficulty and hardship. And God knows we need it. We need to be more and more just to rest in Him. Amen. Rest in Him. Amen. You know, give up the law. Invest yourself more in grace. And just rest. Amen. Rest. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Rest in Him. If you're heavy laden in trouble, come to me, He said, and I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. He is present with you today in the midst of your struggles. And when facing the very challenges of the evil one, He is with you. Amen. Yes. He is with you. I always have this desire for God, us and God's people to go deeper. You know, that's a rich place in God when we kind of experience Him. You know, as opposed to just celebrating about Him. I mean, cerebrating, you know, celebrating the cerebral cortex. You know. He is present with us. And concerning His word, Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." The joy of the Lord does not come from outward circumstances, but from an inward strength of faith that comes of successfully walking with Him daily. Rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4-7. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. That's a truism for us today. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind, what? Through Christ and Christ alone. Of this passage, verse 1 writes, "I can't always rejoice in my circumstances, but I can always rejoice in the Lord." So the idea here is to avoid extravagance. Because the Lord is here among us, and because He's coming back for us, we don't need to get all caught up in the earthly things. The idea of being careful means to be full of care or anxiety. He don't want us that way. So I'm discovering more and more that the real need in my life is not for God to hear from me, but for me to hear from Him and to live in such a way that I hear from Him. You know, that's become the mean almost everything to me in my life. It is the Lord's joy that Nehemiah spoke of in Nehemiah 8:10b when he said, Do not sorrow for the joy of the Lord. What? You know it is your strength. I know this is kind of long, but I'm going to run for a while here. Okay? Therefore, search for him in the place of prayer. Seek him in the secret place. He is everybody's strength and joy. For Paul, his contentment was not accomplished on his own, but through Christ and Christ alone. And Paul realized that he couldn't live the Christian life on his own. Like every believer, he had to depend on the Lord Jesus, the one who strengthens him. The way he strengthens me. Edumao, meaning to make strong and vigorous. It's Jesus who does that for you, and he does it for me. He's the one who will fully strengthen you. He will fully strengthen you. Fully strengthen you. You'll be amazed at the things you can stand before and endure. Amen. Oh, man. I think about some of the things, but, you know, what's the most scary thing you can imagine to me is the wrong side of the spirit world. But it's amazing what happens when evil comes up. All of a sudden, look like something comes out of nowhere in me. It's like I told you, like, you know, Clark Kent going in the telephone booth, and somebody else comes out. I said, "What manner of man is that?" So it's amazing. I'm just trying to say, I think that's what's going to happen when we get raptured. There's going to be an explosion inside there, and this body's going to be changed, you know?
Yes,
and we'll be emboldened. And in a twinkling of an eye, you don't have time to lay this aside and go find something else. It's so amazing to me. Sometimes I can hardly wait. For he is one who will fully strengthen you. He'll fully make you strong. He will enable you. You'll be amazed at what you can do. He will establish you. He'll confirm you. He'll keep you stable. Amen. Keep you balanced. He'll strengthen you. And you can do all things through Christ, who will do all that for you. A.T. Robinson says of this verse, Philippians 4:13, he says essentially that Paul's confession, "I can do all things," is an affirmation of and an awareness that he has supernatural strength in him. And I ask the question, do you have supernatural strength in you? Are you aware of supernatural strength in you? Are there times that you sense that or experience that in you? It's yours. So the phrase that strengthens me is a causative verb here, as Jesus is the one who's empowering you. And he's the one who baptizes you with his spirit, who pours in power and causes you to triumph and to overcome. So you have the kind of overcoming strength in you as long as Jesus is free to keep on bringing it into your life. Is he free to continue to come to you and pour dunamis in you? It's the God kind of power and strength. Paul was never the victim of circumstances. He had learned by experience the secret of peace. I can do all things through Christ who energizes me. The J.B. Phillips translation renders it this way: I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives in me. Hallelujah! Do you realize he lives in you? Really? He lives in you. For you to say no and deny is to make him a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. So, saints, I'm just saying, we have to let God make us ready for anything. You understand? There may be some things that you're not ready for. And so he's allowed you to go to the gym. And I'm not talking about where you lift weights. I'm talking about life. God runs you through stuff to strengthen you. He runs you through stuff to prepare you. And it's not always the devil, like Flip Williams, who was it that said it's the devil who made me do it? That's been so many decades ago, I can't even remember. Sometimes it's like I always like to say, God will lead his people right into the front of a hurricane or a storm. Because he knows he's going to have you walk on water. Amen? So, Philip says, as he turned back to Philippians 2, 12 and 3, he says, and you will see that God cannot work through us until first he works in us. And it says there in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. I know you'll love this one, this part of it. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In other words, you know, we talk about, I can do all things in Christ who strengthened me. It's what? God's will. And it's his work in you. It's God who works in you. I love it. Both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You're going to think right because you've been just praying. You've been reading the word. You know, I like what Joseph Prince said. Right believing brings right, produces right doing. Amen. And God will just have you believing right. And so his power becomes manifesting in you. If we depend on our own power, we will fail. But if we depend on his strength, we can do all things through him and anything he wants us to do. Amen. There won't be any challenge. There won't be any task. There won't be any calling. There won't be any ministry or any job or anything he asks you to do that you won't be able to do. You may not want to do it. And I used to say, please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. I can't tell you all the times. You know the time I told you I was doing something. He said, I am your commander in chief. Some colonel had ordered me to do something, and I wouldn't want to go there. But it was God in it all the time. Because it was because I didn't like it, I assumed it wasn't God. Yeah. And so he made it clear who was actually behind it. He said, I am your commander chief, and you're going nowhere but that I send you. I said, yes, sir. I wanted to salute him, but I couldn't see him right there, you know. It's God who works in you both to will and to do with his good pleasure. And so if you depend upon him, he will be strengthening you to do anything he wants you to do. So this explains why Paul could rejoice even in prison. Because he knew there he had a secure mind and the power of God. And by a secure mind and a heart of faith, you can know that God is standing by you nearer than breath. Amen. I know that's hard to grasp. It could sound like just good words. But that's the reality. For if he's in you, why can't... Sometimes just good sense doesn't make sense to some of us sometimes, you know. By a secure mind and a heart of faith, you can know that God is standing by you and nearer than breath. Paul confirms, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is a challenge, he said. As you walk in close fellowship with Christ, more, and I'm coming to close, more of what Paul is talking about here is made manifest in your life. As God's Spirit gains control and prominence in your life, he strengthens and enables you to overcome the temptations, the traps, and the tragedies the enemy has designed for your life. All to deceive, distract, and derail you from God's greater purpose for you. And the more God is able to do in you and me, the more he is able to do through us, that is his church, to glorify himself in the world and bring souls into the kingdom. So this is our highest purpose in life, aside from loving God first and our neighbor and ourselves. It is because of Christ in him that Paul could declare, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's because of Christ in you that you too can declare, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you are to be encouraged today to understand there's a strength which is greater than yourself that's available to you. There is a strength you are to be seeking God for today. He's calling his people to come into the kind of reality in their thinking, to come into the dimension of insight and truth in their heart that God truly does desire to bless them and enable them to overcome the obstacles and challenges, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus affirms in John 16:33, there in talking about end time things and the suffering that would come upon the world, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's done. Amen. And it's amazing. Faith will prove it. Trust in him will prove it. Amen. As we face the obstacles and the difficulties, you know, that invisible thing, faith, is something, but it's amazing. You know, once you start really, you know, that whole grace thing, you know, whole faith thing, it's like the revelation is amazing. I don't know. You ever try to explain a revelation? I just said sometimes we might wonder where God is when I need him most. When seemingly I can't get a prayer through, well, just be assured that God is where he's always been. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you wonder where God is in your time of need, just remember these things. God is not dead, and he is not lost or missing. Remember that story. I'm not telling you. He is where he said he would be, near you and in you. Never to leave you or forsake you. Amen. Never, ever, under any circumstance will I ever leave you or forsake you. The double negative of the Greek. A funny story, some people, I heard them talking about that, and they try to make a triple negative. I think you're going to change it, but it is what it is. Anyway, saints, praise God. I'm blessed. I love God, I love you, and I know it's going to be all right. I don't think I need to finish all of this. Amen. Well, you know, yes, I am a manuscript preacher by and large, but not always. But all I think about, that's where a lot of the old preachers came up in the day. My pastor, brilliant man, manuscript preacher, both of them, all of them. Jonathan Edwards, all those great guys. You know, and then we came around with contemporary things. So sometimes I can get contemporary. But basically, you know, I am what I am. Hallelujah. And I just trust you got some out of the word out of there. So you feel like you can do something for God? Amen. It's through Christ and Christ alone. That's what your life is all about. All about Jesus. Amen. All about Jesus. You know, we might not appear normal sometimes. But I like what Sid Roth says. Everything holy is the true normal. Everything God in where we are is the true normal. And that's why I would like to say that God is the reality and we are the illusion. Amen. Stand with me. Loving Father, we want to thank you today for whatever it is that you put in our hearts.